the volume.
Jenkins and Jones is brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any other fantasy sport, there's a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It's Thursday, June 10th. No one has food poisoning tonight. Wow. And we've got a lot of great basketball to talk to you guys about. We're fired up. As always, Jenkins and Jones is hosted by my good friends, Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
He had the tongue all the way out of his mouth like a fucking iguana when he said that shit.
The lip goes like down to right above the chin level. You know what I mean? It's a-
And also by LeJethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John.
What's up, Bubbas? And let's talk about how good Tyler looks. I mean, Tyler, does he look great. Handsome in his camera? I'm jealous. Aww, look at this man.
Teeth, the light is shining off his teeth and shit.
I'm fucking,
And looking great. Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah, but like I was saying, all thanks due to my wife, because you know I showed her a clip of, you know, when we had Meryl on, and she's like, "Oh my God, you look fucking terrible," right? And so you know, we hopped on Amazon, just caught a cheap ass webcam for like $25-$30, and here I am, man, in HD, fucking 4000K or whatever the fuck.
Tyler's in 8K.
Looking like a million bucks over there, buddy.
He looks incredible. I'm Guardy B, aka Mike, and yeah, this is I can already tell this is gonna be a good episode because Tyler's got a real camera. I am not about to throw up, and John's always good, but you know,
always money.
It's good. We're feeling good.
So let's start with the fucking pod, nigga.
Let's fucking go.
Let's fucking pod, man.
We're recording.
I'm fucking ready to pod. I will die for this podcast and shit.
We're recording right after Suns Nuggets game two, an absolute fucking ass whooping. Are the Suns
sodomization? That's what we just saw, bro.
Are the Suns doing this shit?
I mean, you know, I said last week I wouldn't be surprised that any of the final four teams coming out the West. So I do think the Suns can absolutely make a finals run. Not sure if they'll have anything for Brooklyn, who looks like they might take the shit, but you know, I definitely could see the Suns making the finals. Yeah, they've been beating the fuck out of people, man.
They're God beating damn. The fuck out of the Nuggets right
dog
now.
Dog shit out of motherfuckers.
We just saw a nigga get jumped on live television. His team just watched. I felt bad for Joker out there. That motherfucker was getting stomped the fuck out, nigga. he had a great line in like the you know stat line in like the beginning of the third quarter. And everybody else was just absolute ass. You know what I mean? But one thing I want to say is, like, Booker, bro. Like, he didn't have the best game, but he's really good. I think Booker's, like, the star that the NBA is trying to make these other guys be. I think Booker's the one, dog. You know what I mean? I think he got the goods. Like, there's a lot of great young talent. I think they need to put some marketing dollars behind Booker because he is special. I mean, we're seeing him play, you know, play great in big moments, and also him riding up with the old school, you know what I'm saying? Being actually cool, not Kyle Kuzma cool, actually cool, you know what I mean? I think it's interesting.
He's that rare classic, like, aesthetic that appeals to old people like us and 15-year-olds on Instagram. Tyler, you have a car that could be in the Devin Booker collection. Can you critique the drive-up game from Booker?
It's just, you know, Booker, I look at him sometimes and I think, oh, look at this little curly hair pretty boy motherfucker. He is not one of those dudes at all. You know what I mean? Book is a straight up Mississippi motherfucker. And I love that about him. And yeah, man, he's just been shitting on us with the old schools. And I love it every fucking time, man.
I like the drive up as opposed to the walk in. I would love to accentuate, like, I mean, I know dudes don't necessarily always want their cars photographed, but I love that. I mean, I like that. I just feel like that was so perfect. I do think, John, we're starting to see the, I don't know if it's marketing dollars, but the narrative is sort of getting there with Book. Like, they talked a lot today during the broadcast about Book and Kobe. right? Yeah. You know what I mean? He was inspired by Kobe. He tattooed the words of Kobe on his body. Like, I think that's sort of the start, right? They're putting that seed in there of like, this is the next dude we're going to put insanely unrealistic expectations on to.
Are you surprised by how good Booker is, though? I'm genuinely wondering.
I think it was Zeitz tweeted, I'm old enough to remember people saying that Devin Booker was scoring a lot of points, empty points on a bad team. I was absolutely one of those people. 100%. Thought that he was good. He was good for sure. But I think Brandon Ingram's good. You know what I mean? Like, I think a lot of people.
Booker's
that,
different, bro.
No, 100%. Okay. And there's no question about it now. But I didn't think he was 47 points on the road in an elimination game to knock the defending champions out. I absolutely did not expect that from him this year. 100%.
I definitely have, you know, like, y'all know I've been high on Book, you know, forever. Like I said, I think he's probably the second best two in the league at the season start behind Harden. So, yeah, I mean, he's 47 points in the closeout game. That is ridiculous for your first showing in you know, postseason play. But, yeah, Book is he's impressing me, but he's not surprising me, if that makes sense.
Yeah, Book's not surprising me either. I've always thought he was special. I didn't think he was just good. I thought he was special. You know, I mean, I was surprised by how much the NBA didn't put behind him. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know they weren't good, but he's a special, special talent. So I'm glad the world's finally seeing it. But like, yo, man, like what they want Zion and all these other guys to be, you know what I mean? Booker is actually that guy. You know what I'm saying? Give him that love. You feel me?
Well, I mean, I don't think the Nuggets are going to pose much of a challenge. So they might have plenty of time to work on the highlight reels before the Western Conference Finals. do have to talk about Chris Paul. Unbelievable fucking game tonight. Let me get this stat line up. 17 points, 15 assists, 5 rebounds, 0 turnovers, and a stat that absolutely blew me away was that the last person to do that, 15 points, 15 assists, 0 turnovers, was Chris Paul in 2014, who is the first player to do that since Chris Paul in 2008.
I do, man. When's his last turnover? Is it like in the last series? Or did he have one in game one?
I think he had one in game one.
So he's like, what, 25 and one turnover? I think he's at 25,
26 assists and one turnover.
Ridiculous. Yeah. He breaks the game down to the easiest, like, in the easiest way possible, and then gives it to his teammates. You know what I mean? It's like he makes it so much easier for everybody around him. It's beautiful to watch. You know what I mean?
He's like a mama bird throwing up basketball knowledge in the baby bird's mouth.
This is so digestible.
In his mouth. Yeah.
Right, that's exactly what he does. Like, here's the easiest form of basketball. There you go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. I love watching him play.
And to pat myself on the back again, in the season preview episode, I said I think that Ayton's gonna make a huge fucking leap there with Chris Paul, because Chris Paul maximizes his bigs wherever he goes, and voila.
I didn't see that. He's coming,
a fucking
bro.
Beast too.
Ayton's looking great, bro. Yeah. I knew he was a solid, but I didn't know he was good. You know what I mean?
I did not see the Suns 100%. I did not see coming. And what's interesting is we talked about this. I think we talked about this in the group chat, but like, we're either going to have an NBA champion from a franchise that's never won a championship before, or we're going to have a champion who hasn't won a champion in our lifetime. Like, the most recent championship won by a team that's currently playing, I think, was like 1983. So we don't know what the storyline of the playoffs is until someone wins, right? We all feel like the Nets obviously would be number one, but if it ends up being the Suns, if it ends up being someone else, the storyline is these dudes went to the bubble. They went 8-0 in the fucking bubble. They were talking to every reporter in Phoenix for the last month about how important that experience was to them. They really came together. They needed that Chris Paul. They needed the dorm RA. Right, like they needed the
hey, turn that music down.
Parameters, yeah.
You know, they needed that guy on top of everything, and it's just our producer Jackson is telling me Chris Paul 38 assists, 2 turnovers over the last 3 games for Chris.
Who
Paul.
Does that? Nobody other than Chris Paul. You just pointed that out. nobody, man.
And shouts to DeAndre Ayton too. He had a ridiculous stat too, where they said he shot 72% last series. Like the for the whole series, what the fuck?
It felt like
video game numbers,
bro. It felt like 98 or something.
Yeah,
it felt like he got an A on the test, bro. You know what I mean? Like, the Suns. It would be good to see Bron playing still, but the Suns have been so good that I'm not missing Bron like I thought I would. Like, I'm glad I'm still watching the Suns play basketball. That's how fun they are right now. Now, I didn't think that was possible. Mike can sign on.
I think I agree with you. And I mean, it's, we talked about it. If the Lakers aren't going to win a chip, I'd rather them be out in the first round so I can just have a nice night watching basketball with the family. Right.
Yep. Makes sense.
Chris Paul, I feel like, is moving up my list of NBA what ifs, the better he's playing this playoffs, because he's been injured basically every time, you know, he started to get a postseason run. He obviously could have been paired with Kobe on the Lakers. I mean, there's all of these what ifs now, that as we're seeing that what he's able to do, even at the age he is in the playoffs, is absolutely incredible. And it really does make me think about, what if this dude had had a fully injury free career, you know, what he really could have done in the postseason. Cause it was just always timing for him.
He could have been the guy who beat the greatest team we've ever seen. Yeah. Like, let's not forget 2018 with the Rockets, you know, that pulled hammy at the end of game 6.
Yeah.
Like, who knows how that shit would have shaken out if he was there for game 7.
I think there's no way that the Warriors win that if Chris Paul's healthy. Like, it just didn't feel that way at all. You know what I mean? Watching it, the Rockets look great with Chris Paul healthy, but yeah. I mean, we can't, you know, ignore that he fumbled a couple in with the Clippers. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean,
it's harder to believe like that's his fault.
You said what?
It's harder for me to believe that that's his fault.
I also think he's getting better. He's just smarter. He's just so much smarter than everybody else on the court. You know what I mean? And that's part of playing and being in situations. So he's a better player mentally now. He's not as athletic, but he still has that supercomputer. You know what I'm saying?
I've also absolutely loved the playoff scene in Phoenix. It's been incredible. But John, you tweeted, and I want you to elaborate on
ugliest
this.
Ugliest fans on the planet, bro.
You tweeted that the stand looked like a Simpsons character poster.
Bro, I looked at that and I saw they have more Simpson character lookalikes per capita in Arizona or Phoenix. And I've been to Phoenix one time, and I looked over Phoenix and I was like, I know there's a bunch of meth being done in this motherfucker. Like, Phoenix got that feeling. I looked into that crowd and gasped out loud. I was like, I feel like, bro, we talk about the Spurs a lot of San Antonio. They ain't got shit on Phoenix, bro. That fan base is absolutely frightening. Children under the stairs level frightening. You feel what I'm saying? I looked at the motherfuckers. And it wasn't just like this. It wasn't like that one person stood out. And like, it's like every camera shot. I'm like, God damn. You know what I mean? These motherfuckers. It is fright night, that motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Shit. God damn, bro. And it was crazy is people hit me up. Like they are on Grindr. I don't know. It's Grindr. What, Jackson, can you tell me what Grindr is? Is that a Grindr? What type of dating?
Grindr is Tinder, but specifically for, I believe, gay dudes, not just
okay,
gay,
okay, okay. So it's not, but like people said they were on, you know, those
according to my friend.
But people said that, you know, that they were on dating apps and that they can, you know, like in living in Phoenix, they said, yeah, that is a fact.
Is they get carpal tunnel swiping.
just swiping on a bunch of Nelson Muntz and Moe's.
Did y'all see that shit though? Y'all saw the shit. I'm not tripping, am I?
I never examined them through the scope of Simpson characters, but that's going to be all I'm thinking about whenever I get a crowd shot now. So I'll report back with my findings.
Okay. We need the Nuggets to win one game in Denver so we get a game 5.
Yeah. Bro, I was looking through like, woo, woo, shit. Like,
before the game, or yesterday we found out, to the surprise of absolutely no one, that Jokic is the MVP. We talked about this with various different positions throughout the course of the season. Do you guys have any thoughts on that? I mean, like I said, certainly didn't surprise any of us, but what did you think, Tyler?
Oh, well deserved. You know, he's been the only center since Shaq in 2000 to win it. So, you know, we've had a 21-year drought with centers not winning it. And, you know, that's interesting to me because it's like Shaq was like everything we imagine a center could be. And Jokic is like some shit we never imagined a center to could be. You know what I mean? Like a point fucking center who's out here double digit assists, you know, like passing is probably his strongest offensive weapon. And you know, it's just kind of like an ushering in of kind of like, you know, this kind of legitimizes, you know, how we're in like a new era of big men who can kind of just do it all, really.
Didn't they say Steph was like the second runner up? Something like that. I thought I saw something.
I didn't look at the votes real closely. I did see that Derrick Rose got a vote, which was, I don't know, man.
New York media is going to always do some shit like that. They gave Carmelo a vote, you know, to take away from fucking Bronze.
They said it was a fan vote, which I didn't know there was such a thing as a fan vote.
They let a fan vote?
No, it's like a cumulative fan voting thing. I did not know it was a thing. That's apparently
the fuck is that?
The Derrick
Hold Rose on. Thing. This is the voice of our producer, Jackson. They let the fans vote and the fans voted for Derrick Rose?
Apparently.
How come I ain't hear about this shit? I want to get some votes off too, motherfucker. I not know?
who you throwing in there? Who you throwing in there?
Oh, I'd have voted Jokic if I was being serious, but if I was just fucking around, I'd throw in some crazy shit like Zach LaVine or some shit, maybe. Like
that, you know? Yeah, I'd vote for the homies. 100%.
Yeah,
yeah. I like that.
Or Spencer Dinwiddie, you know, even though he didn't play much of the season. That's my Twitter bud. I'd probably, you know, shoot him a vote or something.
I vote for DeMar. Yeah. I vote for people that I know.
Yeah. He votes for Spencer because he follows me. You write that in there. Spencer follows me, so he's the MVP. Yeah.
We're Twitter pals. Right. Yeah. Shout out to Spencer.
I'll fuck with it.
Is that worse rationale than the fans voting for Derrick Rose? I mean,
absolutely not. No.
Okay. Let's talk about Jazz Clippers. I regret to inform you that the Jazz are so much fun to watch, man. I hate it.
It's good basketball, and I don't give a fuck. And so it's such a weird, like, my body's fighting. I'm like, I should care more. This is good, but also I don't want to watch it because it's the Jazz Clippers. It's so much inner turmoil while watching this series. You know what I mean?
Y'all twisted up.
Yeah, well, I'm very much enjoying how we had that live mic around Donovan when he was like, yo, as soon as you press, these motherfuckers going to fold. Did y'all see that shit?
Yep.
Yeah, so I love that. And I love how Wade was on the sideline, you know, telling them, yo, these dudes ain't putting PG or Kawhi on you. That's food right there. You know what I mean? I love that too. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think the Jazz probably do knock them off. I think from what we've seen these pets, I don't know if the Clippers are going to have anything for them, especially how they got pushed by Dallas.
So is it even going to be interesting? Like you
think it'll be, I think the Clippers showed last round that they're just a little bit different mentally. Like I wouldn't be at all surprised they get blown out the first two games and then win games 3 and 4 by 10 at home. You know what I mean?
The Jazz aren't the Mavericks. Like the Mavericks were Luka. That's, you know what I'm saying? And you know what I mean? Like if Tim Hardaway Jr. didn't step up and have a great game, they got washed. You know, and they had Tim, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you feel me? Like, I think what Luka scored or assisted on one game of like every shot, except for like five or six, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The Jazz ain't that, bro. You know what I mean?
I have to assume at some point they're going to make defensive adjustments. I have to assume they're not going to wait till game 7.
can the Jazz are one of the few teams, maybe the only team that has great defense and can score. You know what I mean? I think that's the difference between like when I think the Suns will be playing them in the conference finals. And I think that's the difference. It's like, I mean, the Suns have good team defense, but the Jazz have elite defense and can score at an elite level too. They're the only team that can do that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think the Clippers have anything for them. We just saw PG getting close to our buddy Bob Cousy and, you know, shooting under 25% Bob Cousy, Celtics great. You know what I mean? Like,
I was just about to bring up that stat. I texted you guys. He's celebrating Valentine's Day in June again because he was 2 of 14 for at one point in that game for about
got his ass
fucking 30th time in the playoffs. Exactly. Most playoff games shooting 25% or worse. Bob Cousy, the legend, one at 13. Fucking Paul George is up to number 3 with 8. He's still young.
Yeah, still a lot of time left. he might get a couple more this series. Who fucking knows?
Is everybody on that list a Celtic but him? Are most people on the list a Celtic?
It's Cousy, Tommy, Paul George, Dennis Johnson, and Dolph. So, Tommy Heinsohn.
Never heard of him.
That's a Celtics ass last name, bro.
Tommy Heinsohn is like a Celtics fan. He's like a legend to Celtics people. But our guy Jason Concepcion tweeted, "Those Celtics championships must have happened on the same set that the moon landing did."
That's a very him ass tweet. You know what I mean? Very smart and just ridiculous. You know what I mean?
Yeah, bro. I was fucking cracking up.
there was 11 teams in the league. It was bad basketball.
But
the NBA was horrible back then, bro.
For as much as people complain about three-pointers, like, basketball used to be all mid-range missed shots.
Bro.
Like, does that sound better?
Cousy averaged 19 off 19 shots, bro. And he's a legend back then, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, that shit, bro, it was bad. Fuck that whole ass shit. None of that should count, bro. Take all that shit out. Take all them niggas out the record books, bro. You know what I mean? None of that should count. It was horrible. Who would want to sign up for that? They couldn't, bro. They couldn't even fill fucking arenas back then. What was there to do back then other than watch basketball? What other choice they have to, like, what was there fun things to do in that time period? And you still can't get motherfuckers to come to the games, nigga? You know what I'm saying? What they have, like, to compete with.
Just like smoke cigarettes in restaurants or go to basketball games. That's it, basically. Like, that's all they did.
Pass me the cigarette. That's what everybody said.
Read the newspaper.
Fuck the Celtics.
Jeez.
Okay. What I have to say I really regret aesthetically is that I felt myself looking forward to a Suns Jazz Western Conference Finals. I felt that very strongly. I don't want to be rooting for the Jazz to win, but I feel like that would be, I don't know. I feel like that would really be something.
That's the best basketball.
Yeah.
That's the best basketball. Orange.
It makes sense. It's okay, Mike.
It will be fun. It will be more fun than Clippers Suns.
It's okay. I promise. You'll be all right. He's so sad to vote for the fucking root for the Jazz. If you're not watching this, you should see Mike's face. You can see the sadness in his eyes. He can't believe himself.
It's like Tyler said it on the last pod. It's like the Clippers have been like fun to make fun of recently or whatever. But
is that the first time the cat has made an appearance?
That motherfucker is beautiful, man.
What the fuck?
Is that the Homeward Bound cat? What was her name? Oh, Sassy or some shit? What was
it? Look at the profile. I'm about to hit that profile. Yeah. Like.
Look. Just like admire me.
Right. Look at me, nigga. I'm a bad bitch. You feel me? Like, that is it, bro. I love it. And it just jumps on the camera, doesn't give a fuck about nothing. Like,
she wants me to let her out of the room. I was going to try and finish the pod, but I don't think we can do it. Hold on.
Yo, that's insane. We have never, all the potting we've done, we've never seen the cat one time. Yeah. Oh, no, she want to be on the pod, G.
Yeah. She want to kick it with us, bro. That is a Disney Channel cat.
Bro.
That's like an ABC Family cat. Like, I don't even think those really existed outside of Hollywood sets.
Right.
That's the most cat shit ever. She was like, I know how I'll get him to fucking let me out of the room.
I don't even think she wanted to get out the room, bro. She was chilling. She opened the door. She was like, no, I'm good over here. We on camera.
She's been walking around yelping for like the last 2 months.
Not you. We pod.
You know those hot takes you post on social media? Well, now you can win up to $5,000 when you put those takes to the test on FanDuel. It's a new game called Over Under, and it's absolutely free to play on FanDuel. Here's how it works. FanDuel will set lines on things like total points or three-pointers made during every NBA on TNT broadcast. All you have to do is pick over or under for every prop. Your picks could win you a share of $5,000 during every contest. FanDuel is the exclusive home for over-under, and it's available in all 50 states so you can play from anywhere. All you have to do is go to FanDuel.com/over-under and sign up now if you haven't done so already. Just create a new FanDuel account. If you don't already have one, it takes less than 2 minutes to sign up. Then put your takes to the test during every NBA on TNT broadcast at FanDuel.com/over-under. They could be worth up to $5,000. Age and local restrictions apply. See FanDuel.com for terms and conditions. So, you're a sports fan. That's why you're listening. But if you're considering getting in on the fun of sports gambling, I want to let you know about a great resource, the Action Network. The Action Network is where fans go when they're ready to bet smarter and turn a profit betting on sports. In fact, their free Action Network app was recently named the best app in sports betting. With the Action app, you can see the latest picks and articles from Action Network gambling experts, as well as personalities like Colin Cowherd. You can compare odds from different sports books and track every bet you make so you always know how your picks are doing. So if the game means more to you, download the free Action Network app and start betting smart. The other big award announcement, congratulations to YoPlayZone Rudy Gogert, the Defensive Player of the Year for the third time, the third ever three-time Defensive Player of the Year. Yay.
I wish I had a kazoo, my nigga.
How do you make the noise?
Yay, Rudy. It's well deserved though, but I cannot give less of a fuck. Like, you know, he's deserved every one of those three defensive player of the years, but yeah, you know, best room to protect in the league, but still, who gives a shit?
It's just weird, a guy that struggles in the pick and roll in 2021 is the best defender in the league. It's
tough for me. I mean, we've talked about this. I totally get all of the Valorp stats, et cetera, et cetera. I've watched enough Jazz games. I understand he's a great – I understand what Tyler's saying is correct. Yeah. However, how many games did that dude have against all-star caliber centers where he just got fucking pummeled?
Or you know what I mean? Caliber guards and getting cooked in the pick and roll.
So, I don't know. Congrats to Rudy Gogert.
Gogert.
On the day that you're listening to this podcast, if you're listening to it on Thursday, there will be a Nets-Bucks game, which you may or may not choose to watch. Nets
both
up
the
2-0.
Seasons are right.
Yeah, Nets up 2-0 very comfortably. Do either of you foresee the Bucks being able to make any changes that alter this series at all?
There's a part of me that's still holding out to see the team that we saw in the Miami series. Maybe we'll see it, you know, with them at home. But man, it just gets smacked up the way they did without Harden for those two games. Like,
I
don't
like
fucking know, man.
47 at one point, or like in the 40 at one point. They were getting cooked, bro. They were getting cooked
they lost the game by 39 points.
They were getting cooked. Like
the final score was 125-86.
Fucking Blake putting Giannis on posters and shit. What the fuck is going on,
bro? Them niggas ain't gonna do shit, bro. It's over with, dog. You get beat by 39. You're down by 40 something at one point. It's
over
with.
Without the other team having an MVP,
their most important player on their team. Like, you know, when are we? I want to know this. When are you gonna say that KD's the best player in the world? When are we gonna say it? Will you ever? You don't see it?
You know, I'm at the point now where I won't argue anyone who says that. You know what I mean? If that's what you think, then sure. I mean, because Bron and KD been 1A, 1B for, you know, quite a few years now. But I don't know if I'm cool with giving the crown away from Bron on an injury plagued year just yet. We'll see what happens next year.
In 2018, I thought KD, like when we were seeing him in the playoffs before he got hurt.
I thought he was the best player in the world. I thought the best player.
You though, KD is 2008. You're thinking
2019.
Yeah, I don't know how anyone could look at Bron's 2018 run and say.
Okay, when he dragged them bums to the fucking finals. Yeah, but I'm saying like when he went before he went down in 2019. I thought the best player in the world went down with Achilles rupture. That's what I thought when I saw that. He was the best player in the world to me. He's come back. Not even a season to play in. I don't even know if this motherfucker had a play in game. He was kick cooking from day one. You know what I'm saying?
I wanted to point that out too. I mean, I think when the Achilles ruptured, I think I said on the podcast, like, fingers crossed, I'm a huge KD fan. I really, really hope that it works out. But 7 foot tall dudes recovering from Achilles is not a great history. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I mean, Boogie, different dude, different skill set, but. Yeah, you know, totally. another 7 footer was never the same after the Achilles. Yeah,
I mean, what's weird is I would imagine Boogie would. I mean, I know his weight and all that, and his size is a factor, but you know, KD's movement is what makes him really special. Like, you know what I mean? Like his shot, obviously, but like the way he can move at his size, and he came back and was moving so well.
He was playing football on the beach. He was playing football on the sand. But you know what I mean? Like,
It's not normal. But like for me, like when I'm looking at him play, I'm like, who is better? He's a guaranteed bucket. I think they said we saw the stat. How many shots is he taking that are contested three pointers and still shooting 50%? Like the most, like the percentage of three pointers he takes and taking in the playoffs he's taken the most contested three pointers in the playoffs, and he's still shooting 50% from the field. He's a bucket, bro. You see what he did to Giannis? Like, nigga, what? Double yank. He didn't even have to do the second crossover. That was just for shits and giggles. To like, a two-time defensive player of the year? Hit him with the, and I'm going to give you this one just for the road. You feel me? You know what I mean? And then, I mean, Jimmy time? And the foul? Fuck out of here, bro. I just don't think KD's a guaranteed bucket. There's not a player in the world that is better to me than KD when I watch KD play. And I'm a diehard Bron dude. Like Bron is forever my favorite player ever and a GOAT to me. But when I'm looking at basketball, since 2019, when KD's on the court, he's been the best player in the world to me when I've been watching him play. That's just how I feel.
I'm with Tyler. I mean, I don't feel like I can argue that. You know what I mean?
But you wouldn't argue for it either. That makes sense.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I think we just got to see healthy Bron, healthy KD full season to see who.
And hopefully we get that for both of them. For our sake, for their sake, for the NBA's sake, for everybody's sake. Sixers Hawks looks like maybe the one conference semifinal series that might actually have some action is tied up at 1-1. The next game, Game 3, is going to be on Friday. So we'll be able to talk about that next time we record. Where do you guys see this one going? The Hawks got one in Philly, but obviously with Embiid back, the series is a little bit different. You think the Hawks can, clean up at home and make it interesting? You think the Sixers are going to push the gas pedal? What do you think, John?
I think the Sixers win this series. I don't even know if the Hawks win another game. And the reason I say this is because when they took Danny Green off of Trey, they've won one quarter since then. They won the first two quarters by like 15. I was looking it up this morning. I'm like, I've been peeping it ever since. Like, how has the series changed? I think that changed the series completely. You know what I mean? It was an early decision that it was made. But like, they've won one quarter. They won the second quarter of Game 2, and that's the only. And they lost the last two quarters of Game 1. And they just had that big ass lead, which kept them, was allowed them to win. But since they've started to slow down Trey a little bit, and that team needs Trey. They only go as far as similar to Luka. They only go as far as Trey does. And if you can slow down Trey, you can beat them. You know what I mean?
Sixers in five?
I think I'll say six, but okay. I'm not surprised.
You think
I think it's Sixers and six. Like I said, I think we saw kind of the Sixers regain control of the series and kind of get back in the driver's seat of dictating the flow of the game and how things are going to progress from here probably. So yeah, I think Trey's good enough to get you one more, but I got Sixers and six too.
Yeah, I fuck with that. All right, those are the four series. we got I fuck with it. Ditto marks. We got the groundbreaking announcement today. Basketball fans are so stupid, dog. LeBron James changing from number 23 to number 6. There were immediate wars in Lakers Twitter over which jersey would be retired or whether he deserves to have a jersey retired in LA, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm embarrassed by how excited I was to hear that he's going back to number 6.
Why is that? What does it mean for you? What does it mean for you? I'm interested.
The 23 just was like weird to me seeing him in LA because it's as stupid as this. The photoshops of him in Lakers jerseys were number 6. So that's what I've been picturing.
I mean, shit, LeBron was the best Bron, you know what I mean? So
yeah. Yeah. It excited me because it made me think, and I might be reading too much into it, but I don't give a fuck. It's like him going back to 6 means that he still thinks that he's got a whole lot left in the tank, right? Like, you know, we saw that he couldn't push the button, you know, because he was injured. But this is like, okay, I was injured, but I still got, you know, some gas in the tank and I'm going to come back healthy. Y'all motherfuckers are going to see. So that's kind of how I'm interpreting that.
That's what I thought when I saw it. It meant like I'm back, bitch. You know what I mean? It ain't over yet. You know what I mean? That's what I thought.
The Oracle Bronstradamus. Tyler is very good. But I had the exact same thought. Bron has two types of dramatic. When he's rolling around on the ground holding his eye, you know he thinks he can get up and end that clip with the game-winning shot. If he's hurt, he's just walking off the court. You know what I mean? He's going straight to the locker room. I don't want to be on TV. Blah, like, you know what I mean? Don't show clips of me hurt in a Lakers loss. And I feel like exactly what you just said. I think he's exactly the type of person who, if he thought he was done, there's no fucking way he'd do this.
Exactly.
Like, he does dramatic moves when there's going to be a good ending to the drama. That's how I feel. So, fingers crossed. And I am going to buy a number 6 Lakers Bron jersey. So
that shit pretty as motherfucker. That 6 is pretty, bro.
It's nice. It's nice. And I might maybe get the AD for Vincent. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. Shouts to Eddie Jones, a Lakers number 6 legend. I fucking loved Eddie's game.
His game was so fun.
I loved Eddie, man.
Him and Van Exel them years?
Yeah, that was a bad court, bro.
Bro, Van Exel, a little lefty with the bounce. Hey, that shit was fun, bro. Fun basketball.
Bron's just, you know, I hope you got Eddie Jones's permission. You know what I mean? Eddie is Bron.
I wanted to ask. I'm wondering if. Nigga, please.
John, you posted a video today on your Instagram story that I wanted to discuss about a highlight dunk from someone who who did you say it was?
Miles Garrett.
Oh, it's Miles. Oh, okay.
Yeah, he posted a video of him playing basketball, and after the second dunk, I noticed that he dunked on somebody, and on the way down you could see that his whole booty almost came out. And I'm like, this nigga, he's like, bro, your booty hole, you about to be booty hole butt naked on Instagram. You out here dunking on folks with no draws on, dog. And I just I'm like, we knew he was different. But my boy, like, you dragging dick across grown men. That's unnecessary, dog. You already like a freak of nature athletically. You existing is disrespectful to a regular nigga like me. And you got to drag a dick across a motherfucker too? Like, this is how we move it? You know what I mean? You got to put the stamp on the disrespect. You feel me? God damn, nigga. Shit.
Like, it's really a tough situation when you get dunked on. But if you get dunked on and then you feel testicle humidity on your shoulder, bro, like...
Yeah. Testicle moisture. bro, that's a wild dude. And the thing is, too, you can't even pretend to want to whoop that nigga. You can't even pretend to want to even pretend to fight that motherfucker.
He's gonna dunk you next, bro, off a drop step by the throat.
Right, you go drag across his dick on the way to the ground, bro. Okay, it's nothing good for you there, bro. So you just gonna have to get that dick dragged across you while dunking and hope for the best after that, bro. Go home. That's what I'm doing, though.
Yeah, I go home and
I feel dick moisture, you gotta go home after that, dog. I'm not saying bye to nobody. If it's my ball, y'all can keep it, nigga. I'm going to the crib, nigga. I ain't playing no music in the car on the way home either, nigga. I gotta think about everything that went on, bro. You know, my whole past is, you know, in question right now. Jeez.
The window down, just listening to what the world has to tell you.
The universe got to talk to you there, bro. You need the universe to speak to you. Because goddamn, I can't get it. Bro, hell no. I don't want no part of that shit. Jesus. Woo, dick moisture.
That's tough, man. You don't, I mean, you just don't want it. You know, you don't want it.
You don't want no part of it. Don't want dick moisture. Oh, man, shit.
all right, before we get out of here, I wanted to ask you this, because this I took Maya to breakfast a couple days ago, and they had on the menu at the diner the breakfast steak special. Steak, eggs, mashed potatoes if you want, you know, whatever. And I was looking at that, contemplating what mindset I would have to be in to walk into a diner at like 7 o'clock in the morning on a Wednesday with a whole day of work ahead of me and be like, give me a 24 ounce steak to put down at the start of the day. Am I the world's biggest pussy? I literally cannot fathom eating a steak at the start of a fucking day, bro. I cannot fathom it. I honestly, I'd go home and go right back to sleep, bro.
Bro, steak is a great fucking breakfast meat. I'm with you. I don't think I've ever gone to a diner. Like, if I'm going to a diner for breakfast, I want some fucking omelet, you know, a fucking 2 pound omelet or some shit like that, right? But I've definitely woken up and, like, you know, reheated some steak that I had the night before for breakfast. Steak is a phenomenal breakfast meat. Yes.
Do you do that on weekdays? I feel like steak and eggs is a Saturday morning,
yeah, it's
or Sunday morning, yeah, breakfast thing.
Yeah. I mean, I'll do that at 11:30 a.m.
I mean, I'm
waking up late on a Saturday. You know what I'm saying?
I would do it at 9:30, 10. I would do it around there on a Saturday or Sunday. Like, but on a Tuesday, that's just absolutely unheard of. I feel like you at that point, Mike, during a weekday. That is unfathomable.
There's truckers in the diner who do that shit. Like, I'm going to be in the car for 12. I'm going to be driving for 12 hours. I better get some steak.
And then have to
watch
fight
the sunrise. Asleep,
fight the itis for the next fucking 4 hours. No way. Now, I feel that's a weekend thing. On the weekend, I've done steak and eggs for breakfast on the weekend. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm not doing that shit on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, bro. Just not.
Listen, steak is a great breakfast meat because, like, the steak juice, when you mix that shit with, like, the eggs or grits. I know y'all California motherfuckers don't eat grits. Y'all some quinoa, you know,
face
ass niggas out there. But yeah, when you get some steak juice mixing with some grits, oh my God.
Nigga, you think I don't eat grits?
Are you a California motherfucker?
I mean, I'm in Cali, but nigga, I was raised on grits, nigga.
I know you eat grits.
Okay,
I'm talking about California folks.
Bro, I was like, Tyler,
he
what
was
do you think about me? What did we become?
I was quivering.
Grits, Tyler? I was hurt. I was hurt, dog. My eyes started watering a little bit. Right. Hold up, nigga. I ain't a country nigga no more, goddamn, nigga. I was hurt, bro. Shit, no, but yeah. I feel you on that, bro. Like, steak, it's definitely a breakfast food. I got a question for y'all, though. Do you think it's disrespectful to a steak to put A1 on it? There's people that are real big about that.
I defer all questions about steak etiquette to our very own Tyler, award-winning grill master.
Yeah, you know, I think if you're getting a fancy schmancy-ass fucking, you know, Kobe cut or some shit, you don't want to put A1 on that. But if we're just getting a steak from fucking Outback, who gives a shit? You know what I mean? Like, you know, who cares at that point? So that's kind of where I'm at with it.
I love A1. I like to put on my ribeyes and shit like that. If I'm, like I said, I'm going to an actual, like a nice restaurant, I don't like to change the food because I know that shit was prepared with fucking scientists in the fucking, right. You know what I mean? As chefs, you feel me? But like you said, if I'm chilling on some, on a regular joint, A1, bro, that shit fire to me. Yeah, I think it's delicious.
I fuck with A1.
I'm not putting ketchup on the shit though. Like I'm not.
Yeah,
that
never nigga. Be that motherfucker.
Yeah, ever. I'm never that nigga.
Have you ever been at a table with someone who put ketchup on their steak?
They always a church going ass motherfucker. That's a nigga with some big slacks on. You know that, that spent half day. You know what I mean? That's generally a deep South Baptist motherfucker. You know what I mean? That put ketchup on it and think that's okay. They ain't. You know they grew up in a church, nigga. That's what them niggas be doing that shit. Weird ass niggas, you know what I mean? Like they sister can't wear pants. That type of church. Shit,
some Mormon ass shit, bro. You got, right. You got a goddamn Jehovah's Witness palette. You put some ketchup on a
to
steak.
A restaurant. Hey, gook, 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 gook. You think that's normal, nigga? You had to grow up on some odd shit. There ain't nothing normal about this. Ain't no motherfucking hamburger, bitch. What you thought? Kick that weak ass shit. Weirdo shit.
Shit. Oh shit. All right.
Anti ketchup on steak podcast. Yeah. That's okay. A fact.
We're pro not having food poisoning. We're pro Tyler's new camera. And we're anti ketchup on steaks.
Yes, sir.
Fuck yeah.
Jenkins and Jones.
Dickens and Jones. Jones, Jones,
Jones,
nigga.
Jones, Jones. All right. That's all the time we have for today. We'll have more playoff basketball. We might talk a little Loki next episode as well. But I hope you guys have a good rest of your week. Be sure to subscribe. Tell all your friends to fucking subscribe to the podcast. Subscribe to the Volume's YouTube page. You can watch videos. You can see Tyler's new camera if you're listening to this shit just
looking
on the
beautiful,
podcast.
Nigga. Astounding.
Looking
I said it.
Crispy.
I damn right I said it.
Thank
you. Looking astounding, nigga.
Thank you, brother.
You got to get mad when you compliment your nigga. You look astounding, motherfucker. Beautiful ass nigga. Fuck wrong with you, beautiful ass nigga. Pretty smile having ass motherfucker. I love you, nigga.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.